Hello. Good morning, church. Good morning. Let's just pray before we start. So, Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son this morning to die for us, Lord, on that cross, to forgive us for our sins and to bring us new life. And Jesus, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to come and indwell us and to be with us and to empower us to do what you've called us to do. So we thank you, we recognize you, and we welcome you this morning into our presence. Thank you, God. Amen. So, children, would you all like to sit just here, please? The first three, sitting down, get a sweet. Whoa, these sweets are going to work well. Who was, yeah. It looks like I'm favouring my children here. Right, so this morning, this is the third in a series of short talks. We've talked about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And so it sounded like a great idea when we proposed it. And then when you start looking at 15 minutes to talk about God in three different ways, then it's a challenge, shall we say. So I'm going to do my best and see if I can get it done in 15 minutes. So God the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And I would say the Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood and confused person of the Trinity. And we can't quite place him as easily as we can with God the Father, God the Son. It sort of makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Father, Son, we understand that relationship. But where does the Holy Spirit fit into all this? So the Bible uses, and hopefully have I turned it on? I'm doing it, aren't I? I'm doing that preacher thing where they can't use the technology. Thank you. So who is the Holy Spirit? No, it's not that one. Try again. Oh, brilliant. So the Bible shows the Holy Spirit. One of the forms that it shows the Holy Spirit in is as a dove. So when Jesus gets baptized, the Spirit of God comes down like a dove. So the Holy Spirit isn't a dove, but he's like a dove. Or fire. There's tongues of fire, isn't there, on the disciples when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Fire sits over their heads. Or oil. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as oil in the Bible. Or a rushing wind. Again, when the disciples are baptized in the Spirit, there's a rushing wind comes through the room. But we have other images of the Holy Spirit. Could be as a power, some kind of power source that we control and handle. Maybe that's your experience of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's your expectation of the Holy Spirit. Some dramatic encounter, people falling about. Or maybe, as the old translations say, the Holy Ghost. Maybe you see the Spirit as a ghost-like figure. But what does the Bible actually teach us about the Holy Spirit? And this is where we come to the Trinity, which is one of those great mysteries of the Bible, isn't it? So the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches that God is one God, but three persons. So the Holy Spirit is God in every respect, in every way. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. Did you get that, kids? There's one God, there's three people. Does that make any sense? It does. Wow. Because I felt a bit like this. That was my initial reaction. You what? Say what? Or maybe you feel a bit more. So one God, three persons. How does that work? How can you have one God, three persons? Is that a contradiction? Anybody brave enough to say yes? It is a contradiction. No, it's not. Why is it not a contradiction? You'll get a sweet if you get the answer right. No? I'm sure there's minimal calories in these. You'll probably spit some of these out because they're that bad. So why is it not a contradiction? A contradiction is saying there's one God, but there's three gods. That's a contradiction, isn't it? I'm contradicting myself. To say there's one God and three persons is a paradox, all big words, but it's not a contradiction of what it is. So if you look in there, this is just one example, and because of time, I don't want to spend too much time going through the Trinity. But one New Testament example here that just shows the three persons of God all present at the same time and place, all interacting with each other. So it says in Matthew 3:16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So if we have a look, you've got Jesus being baptized, Jesus, the Son of God. You've got the Holy Spirit, more like a parrot in this one, but like a dove. And then you've got the Father speaking to the Son. So you've got all three members of the Trinity there interacting together. Yes? Does that make sense? Yeah? You see that? And then all through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, there's elements of the Trinity. There's certainly bits that talk about God being more than one. Doesn't come into its fullness until you come into the New Testament, but it's all the way through. But that's just one example. So this isn't the Trinity. Sorry, Alan. There's three persons working as a strike force, but they're not the Trinity. And neither are they the Trinity. Now, can anybody... well, first, children, do you know who those are? What's the band called? No? Spice Girls. No, that's wrong. Minus a point for you there. The Supremes. Okay, you can have a sweet. And then... can anybody name one member? Yes? Oh, you can't. Somebody else will have to have one of these. Can somebody name two members? Oh, now we're getting stuck, aren't we? Everybody knows Diana Ross. Was it... I don't actually properly know the answer to this either. Was it Mary Wilson or something? Yeah. Oh, I'm not having a sweet. I can't remember the last lady. Something Ballard or something like that. Anyway, but they're not the Trinity. And they're definitely not the Trinity. So this is just for the kids, this one. So here's three persons. They're definitely not God, and they're not the Trinity. They're not holy. Do you know the person on the left? Boris Johnson, well done. I'm sorry you got the Palmer Violets. Who's the one in the middle? Oh, cheats, you know. Watch your eyes. And one on the end. Donald Trump. Oh, there's multiple answers there. Hold on. I'm running out. One. Who else? You said it as well. Good grief. Does Alex say it as well? Sorry, there you go, Josh. Anybody else? You've already had one, haven't you? I have another one. Okay, right, so yes. But here's some typical representations of the Trinity, and I'm sure my previous two counterparts explained all this and went through it. But you've got, kids, you've got the egg, so you've got the shell, the white and the yolk, so three parts to one thing. You've got the apple, the skin, the core and the flesh. You've got the shamrock or the three-leaf clover, the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, and apparently St. Patrick used that to explain it to the Irish. You've got water, solid, liquid and gas in three different forms. And then you've got, I love the fidget spinner actually. I think that one works quite well because when it's spinning around, it all sort of comes together. But all of those are really poor and weak representations of God, aren't they? God is not a fidget spinner or an egg or an apple. They all fall short of describing what God's really like. So this is a bit more dry and boring and a bit more like it, but you can kind of see some visual representations, particularly the one on the right, I think is quite helpful. So if the Father is God, but he's not the Son is God, but he's not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit's not the Father. So they're all individual, but they're all God. So the Bible teaches us that the God is three persons, each person is fully God, and there is one God. And that is a fundamental Christian doctrine. So just for a practical demonstration of the Trinity, Alan, would you like to come up here? Joel, come. Come over here, you come here. Right, so I'm God the Father. You can be God the Holy Spirit. And Joel, you're God the Son, you're Jesus. So this is the Trinity. They're all together, yeah? They're all one God. But say, we want to go to the right now. Let's go to the right. Now we're going to go to the left. Should we try backwards, or is this going to end in tears? Let's go backwards. What do you think? So I'm God the Father giving the instructions. Are you happy, Jesus? No, not really. Is this embarrassing?
No.
No, that's all right then. Okay. But you kind of get the idea that it's God in three persons, the Trinity. So who is the Holy Spirit in the Trinity? It's a bit dark on there, isn't it? First of all, how does the Holy Spirit come? How does he get involved with us? So if you look at John 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, this was to Nicodemus, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's pretty critical, isn't it? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is spirit. So the Holy Spirit is fundamental to us being Christians. That when we become born again, when God comes and gives us new life, as we confess our sins and say, "God, I'm sorry, I turn my life over to you, I go from darkness to light, I go from death to life," that when we say, "God, we're going to follow you and follow your lead and your command and make you Lord," then we become born again. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does the regenerating work. He gives us new life. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and makes us a new creature, a new creation. So we actually have new life. So you're born once when you're born, normally, with your mommy's tummy, and then you're born twice when you become a Christian and you say, "Yes, God, I want to follow Jesus." And you become a new creation. So every born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. If you look at 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" So your body, in a sense, in a way, is like the church. And that God lives inside your body, in a way. Yes? So it's like God's living in you, inside of you. And wherever you go, God goes with you. God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. He's a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And it's quite a sobering thought, isn't it, to think that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you're taking God, the Holy Spirit, with you. And sometimes that's not always to good places, is it? So who is the Holy Spirit? There's loads of bits here. And if you do want scriptural references for all this afterwards, come and see me. But for the sake of time, I've just put the attributes of the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he's like. So he is God and part of the Godhead. He is everywhere. Children, can you say omnipresent? That's it. That's a very clever word, and that means everywhere. He knows everything, which is omniscience. If I can say it. He's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, and he cannot change. He's immutable. You don't have to remember all these, but you can all have a sweet for having a go. Have some sweets. Share those ones between you. There's a couple of lollies. So these are some of the qualities of who the Holy Spirit is. And if you recognize these are the same as Jesus and God the Father. He lives forever, he's eternal. He's set apart, he's holy, he's the Holy Spirit. He always does the right thing and cannot do the wrong thing. He's righteous. And the posh word for he can't do anything wrong is impeccability. He can be rightfully jealous. God can be jealous, the Holy Spirit can be jealous for good reasons, for good things. He can be rightfully angry. We can't really be jealous and angry very often in the right way, can we? But God can. God the Holy Spirit can. He's a good judge. He is loving. He's joyful. He's peaceful. He chooses to continue to love him when we upset him and treat him badly. I tried to explain long-suffering. I love the word long-suffering. But kids, did you get that? That even when we upset God sometimes, he still loves us. And he stays with us and he doesn't abandon us. He's kind, he's good, he's faithful, he's gentle. He's in control of himself, he's got self-control. And if you notice, a lot of those last ones are fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? So when, if Galatians 5:25, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and then allow him to work in our lives, we can start displaying some of those attributes on the right-hand side of the screen. So the Holy Spirit is a bit like a superhero. He's amazing. He's better than any superhero you've ever heard of or seen. He can do everything. He's everywhere. If you went to the moon, kids, if you was on the moon, would you find the Holy Spirit? Yes. If you went to the sun and burnt to a crisp, would you find the Holy Spirit? Yes. If you went to the other side of the galaxy, would you find the Holy Spirit? It's pretty amazing. He's across the entire universe. But if you're a Christian, you're taking him with you anyway, aren't you? Wherever you went. So what does he actually do? So we know what he's like. He is God in every sense. He's in the fullest way, he is God. He gives life. So not only does he give life in the natural sense of sustaining life across the planet and everything in the universe, but he, as we saw earlier, he gives us new life and brings us into that relationship with the Father and the Son and himself. He gives us power to serve God. So that can be gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're all aware of healing and tongues and every thing that he gives, words of wisdom and knowledge, all that kind of stuff. But also he gives us strength. He gives us the ability to teach and to do other things, to pastor people, to look after people, to serve. He gives us all those things that we need to be able to serve God. He reveals God's will to us. He reveals his presence. He directs and guides us. He provides assurance to us. Kids, what does assurance mean? Not sure. Assurance. Yeah, go on, have a go. It's basically like saying, I'm here, don't worry, it's okay, I'm with you. That kind of thing. He teaches us, he convicts us of sin, he restrains evil in the world, he comforts us, he can bring unity. And last one, he strengthens or weakens his presence and blessing depending on our response to him. So we can draw closer to the Holy Spirit, we can draw closer to God, or we can withdraw from God. God never forces himself upon us, he never makes us do anything. And he can come closer or further away, depending if we're drawing nearer to him or pushing him away from us. So wouldn't you like to be closer to the Holy Spirit? I know I would. And with that, he's available to us. As we draw near to God, he draws near to us. He's there waiting for us. He wants to be close to us. He's already living in us. Do we recognize that? Do we acknowledge that? Jesus said in Luke 11, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So this is a promise from the Bible, isn't it? That as we ask God, as we seek God, he will give to us of the Holy Spirit in particular. So the Holy Spirit isn't far from us. He's not away from us. God, if you are born again, lives within you. And we can encounter the Holy Spirit. We can know the Holy Spirit. We can see the Holy Spirit's work through the pages of the Bible, can't we? You've only got to read through Acts and look at all the amazing things that happen. Look through the Gospels and how the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus to produce all those miracles and do all those fantastic things. But he's still here today. He's still going today. He's still building up us as a church, seeing that God's power and command is demonstrated throughout the church and through Christians, and seeing the will of the Father brought into fruition in the church through the Holy Spirit. He's the active part of the Trinity, if you like, in this age. This is probably the age in which the Holy Spirit is most active through all the ages that have gone before. He's the sort of key member, in one sense, to the church, to us as Christians. He's almost the most important part of the Trinity, because he resides in us and he's the one that equips and empowers us. But like I say, there's so much confusion. We can understand the Father. The Father is God in our minds. We can understand the Son. He died for us. He rose again. But the Holy Spirit's always shrouded sometimes in a bit of confusion and mystery. And who is this character? He is God. He is part of the Godhead. He's in every way God. He's worthy of praise, worship, etc. He's no less. He does have a role in the Trinity where he enacts the will of God. He brings God's will to pass, of God the Father. But just because there's an order in which things happen, it doesn't mean that any part of the Godhead is less worthy than the other. And we tend to think of this, don't we? If we're at work, if we've got the boss there above us, they're not more valuable than us. We understand that. But it's true of God as well, that just because there's an order in the Godhead to who does what, and there's some distinctives between each person of the Godhead, it doesn't mean that they're any less valuable or any less worthy. So I think what we'll do now is, if you don't mind, we spoke about the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to do anything weird, but I just want to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to hype anything up. We're not going to do anything strange or funny. We're not going to try and get you swaying or rocking. All I want to do is just quite simply, we've acknowledged who the Holy Spirit is, that he's present with us, and just invite him to work in our lives. And I know there will be many needs across this room. And I just ask, if you want to be prayed for, and all we're going to do is just lay a hand on you and say, God, will you minister to this person in the Holy Spirit? I don't want long prayers, complicated prayers, dead simple. Just lay a hand on someone and just say, please receive the Holy Spirit. God, I just, through your Holy Spirit, work in this person, in their need. So if you have needs, if you need to be healed, if you have fears, worries, if you have burdens, if you want to be blessed, if it's not just a problem, but if you just want a blessing, if you want to come closer to the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, I just invite you to put your hand up or to stand up and just say, yes, that's me. And we'll get the worship team to come back up and just play some music gently in the background. And we're just going to spend, say, 5 minutes. I just want you to pray a prayer and just leave some space for God to move. Don't feel you have to fill it with words or further prayers, but just allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does. So let's just give some time. We'll just give 5 or 10 minutes just to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our lives. So, worship group, would you like to come back up, please? So, if you would like to be prayed for, if it's everybody, I'll have to change this. But if you would like to be prayed for, please say, put your hand up now. Okay, so there's quite a few of you. And I just ask the people that haven't got your hands up, could you gather around those people? Just lay a hand on the shoulder. If you can stand, stand. If you just keep your hands up, please, if you want praying for. And I just want you to lay a hand on the shoulder. We're not relying on our own clever prayers. We're not relying on our own strength. We're just going to rely on the Holy Spirit doing what he does. So just keep the prayers short and sweet. If you've got a problem, just very briefly give it. You don't have to give all the details. God knows what the problem is. And just pray. Holy Spirit, just invite you to come into our midst. We recognize that you're here anyway, but we just ask that you'd work in our presence, that you change hearts, you change minds, you change lives, you bring healing where healing's required, you bring deliverance where deliverance is required. That God, you bring all the things that are needed in this congregation, Lord, as they're required. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.